Through covert and overt operations to monitor phone and email communication, massive collection of personal medical and financial data, airline passenger watch lists, and extra-legal measures to detain and interrogate persons suspected of terrorist ties, constitutionally protected civil liberties, and many core values of democracy are now under attack. Alfred McCoy, professor of history at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, is the author of The Politics of Heroin in Southeast Asia, a groundbreaking work that the CIA attempted to suppress in 1972 for its investigation into U.S. intelligence agencies' complicity in the narcotics trade during the Cold War. More recently, McCoy has written about the government's use of torture in the War on Terror. In his latest book, Policing America's Empire, the United States, the Philippines, and the Rise of the Surveillance State, McCoy examines how intelligence-gathering techniques developed in foreign wars and occupations have been brought back home to be employed against U.S. citizens. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Professor McCoy, who explains how the ongoing wars in Iraq and Afghanistan have served as a laboratory for the development of high-tech methods of surveillance that are now being imported for use in domestic intelligence programs, many of which have been embraced by the Obama administration.
Now, all of this very sophisticated technology is starting to come home to the United States. Now, you remember that back in April 2002, when President Bush announced the TIPS program, and that was going to be just like World War One, just like the Philippines. It was going to be civilian surveillance. He called upon letter carriers, deliverymen, train conductors, everybody to report information if you see anything suspicious. And there was a huge hue and cry simultaneously. Admiral Poindexter inside the Pentagon created the Total Information Awareness Program, and he created the Information Awareness Office with this eerie, all-seeing eye pyramid logo, and Congress freaked out and barred that program from operating. Well, it turned out that Bush, pushed back in the public arena, didn't give up the idea of mass surveillance. What he did was he went secret and illegal and took it digital deep inside the intelligence community. And beginning in 2002, the National Security Agency began illegal wiretaps inside the United States. We don't know how many there were. This expanded. The FBI in 2004 set up the Investigative Data Warehouse, a deep data mining, which as of this year is up to 1 billion documents, driver's license, social security records, court records, passport applications, you name it, 1 billion domestic documents growing unchecked inside this vast investigative data warehouse. The FBI also set up the terrorist watch list. It's got 400,000 names on it, and it adds new names at the rate of 1,600 a day.
President Obama campaigned for the presidency, saying that he would reverse a lot of these abuses of civil liberties if he should win the White House. Now that he's there, what has he done in terms of reversing these programs that had this massive data mining and tapping of phone calls and emails and all sorts of communications? What has President Obama done here?
Well, first of all, you got to remember that by the time President Bush left office, Congress had already legalized his illegal actions and expanded the ambit or the authority of NSA to do what Bush wanted. Okay, so Obama doesn't have to be illegal to do this. What President Obama has done is he's expanded it. First of all, he's not pulled back any of the programs. They've continued to grow. And second of all, he's expanded it. He's added a new, extraordinarily powerful layer on top of FBI and NSA. Okay, he's created a new data mining agency, a military cyber command, which is now being established at Lackland Air Base in Texas with 7,000 employees. And this is supposed to defend us from cyber attacks, supposed to engage in offensive cyber warfare. But the Pentagon's top cyber warfare General James Cartwright says that it's inevitable that he's going to intrude into domestic cyberspace.
What's your quick answer to people who really don't put any stock in Benjamin Franklin's adage that those who would trade liberty for security deserve neither. There are many people in this country who believe all this extra security and surveillance has to be done in the name of protecting this nation from future terrorist attacks or whoever the enemy is at the moment. As you said, this is an historical trend that we've been following here in this country. What's your answer to those who think that all this is necessary?
When you take each program, for example, can anybody really argue with the idea of having a Predator B drone, you know, flying back and forth across the North Dakota-Manitoba border, securing our northern frontier? No, seems quite reasonable. Each one of these programs, every piece in this emerging puzzle seems quite reasonable. But when you add it together, which nobody is doing, and if my article and my book have any utility or making any contribution, that's the contribution. I take all the pieces, I put them together, and I say, look, here's the dystopian, the anti-utopian vision of an America that's not in the future. It's almost here. It's almost here. It's a few digital tweaks away from being here. And I submit that if you actually show this vision to somebody, let's say, on the far libertarian right of the Republican Party, and you showed it to somebody on the civil liberties left of the Democratic Party, and Americans at every point in between, I think most of us would agree, we don't like this picture. And it's this picture which is taking place. The technology is building upon itself. And it's time for us to realize where we're heading and to check it in some way. And we can do that. We beat this back in the 1970s. That's why we had the FISA laws. It can be done. We pushed it back in the 70s. We can do it again today.
That was Alfred McCoy, professor of history at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and author of Policing America's Empire, the United States, the Philippines, and the Rise of the Surveillance State. Read an article adapted from the book titled Welcome Home War at the website tomdispatch.com.